Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Gays Revolting. Our Instagram name is now Gays Revolting Pod, by the way.
Thanks to Mikey.
Thanks to Mikey's big old butt.
You're welcome.
So we're back again for another episode, except we're missing one of our members because he's off celebrating his 60th in Bali. Thomas is not here tonight, but we are joined by Jared Bartle. He's running for the upcoming state election, as well as being a consultant and law lecturer.
Welcome.
You for having me. Exciting.
We also have our other regular guests. We have the star of Miss Congeniality 3, Mikey Bullock.
Oh, thank you.
And we also have Luke, whose family tree is very likely a circle. Sorry, I was going to sandwich that in a compliment, but then that would also be in bread. Hi guys, wow. How are you? Oh, and me, back from the dead, much like Sho, who I was seeing last week in concert and why I wasn't here.
It's like a weird mid-season point in a TV series where the cast keeps changing.
Yes. Yeah. It's like...
I'm the hot young thing that we're bringing in to get extra.
Yeah. Bring in the views.
We're hoping no one notices at one of the...
Yeah, it's just like a completely different... Like,
suddenly someone's 20 years younger. How are we all going? How's our week been?
Oh, super stressful and busy at work, but happy to be drinking with you.
We've been getting some great messages about last week's episode as well on mental health, which was really great to hear.
It was a really good episode. I mean, I wasn't in it, but no, it was probably better.
So thank you everyone who listened and, you know, sent us a message, and to anyone that got something from that episode. It was a really big one to record.
It was a big one.
And this one, we're going to be a bit lighter. Yes. We have a guest here to join us.
So let's talk about death.
Yes!
Death and politics! All right, so let's get to know a little bit more about Jared, who's joining us this week. And thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
it's great to be here. I'm enjoying the wine.
All right, so you're actually running right now as a candidate for an upcoming Victorian state election for the Reason Party, which was formerly the Australian Sex Party, which sounds strange, but any international listeners, look it up.
Because look up Fiona Patten. Every gay boy that I meet loves Fiona Patten. Yeah. So if there's someone you're going to look up Fiona Patten.
It's not exactly what it sounds like. And there are a lot of really important issues.
They have meetings at Wet on Wellington.
Well, yes.
Part of your running is, you said you want to be able to call out bullshit when you hear it. What are you there to call out? What do you see as the bullshit that is currently happening?
So the main reason that I'm running, the thing that I care about the most, is drug law reform. So the current way that we approach drug-related harms in this country, in a lot of different places as well, is completely backwards. We criminalize the most vulnerable people in any drug market. So users and people that possess are the people that are thrown in jail. I want to flip that up a little bit. There's a wonderful model overseas called the Portugal model.
Yes, it is amazing.
It is really, really great and is very, very evidence-based. And politicians are not picking up on that, that there is this evidence-based approach to drugs and drug-related harms that can actually do a lot of good.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all we have currently is politicians, you know, refusing to do pill testing at festivals. The Liberal Party this year wants to turn back the safe injecting room in Richmond. People are not approaching drugs the way that the evidence says that we should. Yeah. And because I do this in my work, I kind of want to see that change.
Not to sound ignorant, but what is, did you say the Portugal?
Portugal model, yeah. So, model. So the approach in Portugal is to essentially decriminalize possession and use of drugs, okay? Yeah. So it's to shift those resources that we currently use to throw people in jail and put them towards harm reduction initiatives, such as pill testing, such as outreach services, things like that. Also to fund that money to treatment services. So if someone has a problematic relationship with drug use, in Portugal, they're put before a committee and they're then referred to health services in order to treat their addiction rather than being thrown in jail, which only makes things worse.
How is this somehow the episode Tom's not here for?
No, I think it was really interesting when they sort of made that reform because they realized that they did have such a big problem in Portugal with drug use. It was just getting worse and worse and worse. And then they put the doctors in charge of the reform. And they were just like, what do you recommend? And they literally just put all of that in place. And it has completely 180'd the entire country, which
it's nearly two decades old. And they had one of the highest rates of heroin overdoses in the world. And that dropped dramatically once they decriminalized drugs. So that's one of the main things that I'm standing for the Reason Party. It's the only party that I know that prioritizes drug decriminalization as one of its policies. I'm also standing up because this election is a terrible law and order election. Not the fun law and order. the throwing kids in jail version of law and order that I want to counter against. Because as someone who used to work as a criminal lawyer, there are better ways to reduce violence in the community than just throwing someone in prison. We know from evidence that that just makes people a lot worse.
Look at me.
Okay, so you're a consultant on government projects for departments. What made you think joining government rather than advising government would see better outcomes?
So it's because politicians currently think that they can win on this idea of if we're tougher towards drug users, if we're tougher towards people who commit crimes, then that's the biggest vote winner. I want to run as a candidate that actually is presenting an alternative perspective and is willing to, and is able to get the votes in to support that kind of progressive change. So I've written several reports recommending the Portugal model that I know have been handed to ministers. And then the minister's gone, well, that's not going to play with the general public and has just rejected it, even though that is what all the international evidence says that we should do.
So something that's very near and dear to my heart.
Yes. And your nose.
That's like come up in like conversation with every gay man and pretty much every gay person that I know is going to be affected by this. But where do you stand on the potential AML ban?
So I'm very much against the AML ban on multiple fronts.
You have my vote.
So in terms of, you know, aside from my candidacy, in terms of the community trying to advocate against the AML ban, we will know whether or not there's an AML ban in November.
Okay.
If there is an AML ban in November, it will start coming into effect in February. So what I would advocate everyone to do, not just to vote for me, but
stock up on AML.
Maybe do that as well. But also, if a TGA makes a decision, it goes to the states to start criminalizing things.
Okay.
Each state can actually decide whether or not they impose criminal penalties for possession of AML. So you should be writing to your local state MPs as well as your local federal MPs to say, this is going to affect me personally. This is going to be detrimental to the gay community. Please do not implement an AML ban that's going to criminalize the use of AML.
totally. So, like, if we were to contact these people, like, who would our MPs be here in Melbourne?
So you would need to know your current district or your current electorate, and then you would find out on the Victorian Parliament website who your local MP is, and you could have their email. I recommend emailing them, and I would also recommend calling local MP as well.
Oh, okay. Ring, ring.
Yes. Get on the phones.
I want to ask, and obviously you don't have to answer this, but I'm a big Twitter user. I've seen a lot of gay men on either side of this argument. And what is your opinion about the members of our community that say there are other things to care about than your silly amyl party drug?
I think that that is a completely backwards way of thinking. When you have a policy that targets a drug that is overwhelmingly consumed by gay and bisexual men. Mm. So a third of gay and bisexual men would have consumed amyl in the last 6 months. Okay, you cannot call yourself a gay rights activist and support a ban that will criminalize something that a third of the community does.
Yeah. Great. I feel the same way because amyl, for one, gives me a headache and two, kills my boner. So I don't actually partake in it, but when I heard of this news actually through the show, I realized that this is another example of the powers that be, so to speak, targeting our community in a very specific way.
Or just not consulting. So this is one of the biggest things, is that there's this huge regulatory body that is meant to be in charge of all medicines that happen in the community. And they obviously just have not thought this through, that rescheduling something in such a way so that it would actually be a criminal offense for guys to possess amyl at clubs or anything like that, that is not something that would be viewed as a targeted assault on the gay community.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, and we should fight against it.
Following on from that, like, I have always been like a big advocate for decriminalizing the use of cannabis for medicinal reasons, for recreational reasons. Like, I've used it through my life, many different reasons, and like, I know a lot of people who use it medicinally. We have close friends that have Crohn's disease and like cancers and everything, and it just eases all their ailments. So you support the legalization of cannabis?
Yes.
Do you think in Australia we'll inevitably follow the footsteps of the United States in decriminalizing it?
So we need to be important about a distinction here. So there's decriminalization, then there's legalization. Yeah. So I think decriminalization we will have within the next 5 years in all states in Australia. As in, I think that that is a likely thing that's going to occur. So cannabis is currently partially decriminalized in the ACT in South Australia and in the Northern Territory for small quantities for possession and use. I think
Adelaide represent.
Looks very smiley over there.
For small quantities. I don't trust you to only consume small quantities.
He has a fake leg.
So there's clearly movement there, and I recently wrote a piece for the Conversation, which was looking at public attitudes to decriminalisation. The overwhelming majority of Australians are in favour of decriminalising cannabis.
Yeah.
Okay. So that model, I think, will be here very, very soon. Legalisation's a bit different. Legalisation is removing criminal offences to do with sales. It's actually turning it into a private retail product that can be sold. I'm in favour of that because a lot of people consume cannabis in Australia, and all of those profits are currently going to organised crime.
That's it.
I think legalisation would actually put that in hands of legitimate businesses and take away a good revenue source for organised crime. I think we can get there soon. My estimate is 10 to 15 years before legalisation is reality in Australia, but it is Reason Party policy, and it's something I'm advocating for.
Yeah, absolutely. Legalisation would be amazing because, like, a lot of people that are outsourcing it from all of these other places, they're not knowing what they're actually getting.
Yeah.
And like, especially if you're looking for something specific as well, like, you're sort of just like, oh, let's roll the dice. Like,
and there's different strains, and we can learn a lot of lessons from the legalization models in the US. So there was an issue in Colorado when they first legalized, in that there was no regulations on potency. And there was an increase in emergency room visits because people were used to this terrible low quantity THC weed that they were smoking. Suddenly were consuming really high strength stuff, and ending up in emergency rooms, paranoid. So clearly the model of legalization that I would support would be a regulated model that would take into account all the lessons that we've learned overseas.
When I was a child, I would sneak out of bed to watch two things over my parents' shoulders. One was whenever they televised Kylie concerts, because I knew that naked men would be dancing. And the other one was The X-Files.
Oh, that music was haunting.
Because I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I would sneak out and watch The X-Files, and then went back to bed one night after watching it and was in my bottom bunk, you know, no pun intended. Because
that's where you belong.
And was absolutely freaked out. And I was looking out my like bedroom window and I saw like these rotating lights, like beams of lights coming from the backyard. And I absolutely freaked out. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And they gradually got like closer and closer to my bedroom window. Oh, and I was probably about maybe 8 years old at the time.
And you're just like, aliens are here to take me.
Yeah, finally.
Just picturing that meme when he's just like, aliens. Yeah. Like, that's the crazy
hair. Probe me, daddy. Yes. Probe me. Wow. And they got so close that it was blinding me. It was right up against my bedroom window. And then there was a banging. And I realized, whatever this light is, whatever this X-Files alien is, they're banging on my window.
Oh, my God.
And so I just kind of screamed. And then the response was like, who's there? And I went and screamed. My parents got up. And it turned out that it was the police. And they were actually raiding my brother's backyard.
Because
he was living in our backyard and had grown over the like minimal amount.
I thought that story was going to be that your parents had drugged you and you were ultra paranoid.
Tripping out.
No, that's a different story. Okay. Different episode.
I wasn't sure where we were going. All right.
Yeah, but Adelaide and marijuana.
Yeah, Adelaide.
It's a lot of stories so I actually wanted to ask you this because I saw this in the newspaper while I was grabbing a coffee and it made me really upset. There are potential changes or changes being proposed to what we call the Religious Freedom Act, which would make it easier for organized religions to discriminate against LGBT members of the community. For people that aren't aware, could you let our listeners know a bit of what's going on right now? And I think we can guess where you stand on the issue.
Yeah.
I hate
look. As a pious Christian man. So there's been a lot of confusion and actually there's been a lot of incorrect media reports lately in terms...
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the Ruddock reviews, we don't have the full report yet. There is a report that is being conducted at a federal level on quote-unquote religious freedom. And they've been misreported, actually. So there is this perception that there is this new law that will actually allow religious schools to discriminate against gay teachers and gay students.
Yeah.
But it's not a new law. That law has been around for a very, very long time. Okay. It's only that this review has highlighted that law. So at a federal level and at a Victorian level, it has been the case for several years now that religious schools can fire teachers for being gay can kick out students for being gay. They don't specifically mention trans issues in terms of how I've seen this being implemented, but it would be the case as well, because the exception to the anti-discrimination law is if you can justify an exception to current anti-discrimination law on the basis of your religious organization and preserving the values of your religious organization. This is one of the big things that I care very deeply about, in that I do not think that religious organizations should get special exemptions to things like anti-discrimination law. And they should also not get special exemptions in terms of taxation law as well. So one of the classic things in terms of taxation law is sanitarium. You know, they make breakfast cereals and things like that. They don't pay company tax because they're run by a religious organization. And they
Do they make Up and Go?
Oh, they might. They might. Oh, they make.
Shit, I have one like every morning. Well, not anymore.
They make, the religious organization that has claimed tax-free status for the operation of their business.
What?
Because of religious tax-exempt status. So there's several cases of things like this where religious organizations have been able to get institutionalized privileges at both a federal and a state level. And it's one of the things that Reason has always been very strongly against. I've never really understood why, you know, my deeply held beliefs and philosophies and things like that, even though they're not religious, don't get the same standing as a religious organization. So if I wanted to open, you know, Jared's Academy for Nihilism and Debauchery, for example.
Sounds great.
It sounds amazing. why can't I, you know, be exempt from the anti-discrimination law? Why can't I get tax-exempt status, even though that they are, you know, personally held views that I have? And it's this weird historical thing that we have in our law where religion is given exemptions to laws that apply to everyone else.
So basically, what you're saying is these headlines that we're seeing, the one I saw was like, schools can kick out gay students.
Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying, they already can.
Yeah.
Yes. And they could for many, many years prior to now.
And look, to the, I can't believe I'm saying this, but to the defense of religious schools and things like that.
There's a pull quote right there.
There haven't been many high profile cases. And that may be one of the main reasons that not a lot of people seem to know about this. And the reason that the recent leak has spurred such controversy, even though it isn't necessarily a change in the law.
Okay, now, Jared, you use the hashtag bottoms for Bartle in your campaign. Do you feel like tops are more likely to align their political views elsewhere? Why do you hate tops?
Oh,
and it's just because Kyle's a top.
All right, fair enough. Look, if I can come up with a good alliteration that I can turn into a hashtag, there will be a top hashtag.
I'll think of one.
Hashtag get on top, Jared.
Yeah.
When it comes to my political candidacy, I'm very versatile. Is all I'll say.
What about tops for triumph?
You can't join my campaign. I'm
just wow.
I have broad appeal amongst like a very small minority already. I don't want to alienate that further.
It's like baby steps. Small. Start out small.
Hashtag no tops in my campaign.
No tops in my campaign. If you get the ammo ban, you've got the
turf
bottom.
Turf the tops.
So I'm not sure if your guys' Instagrams have been blowing up, but mine sure has, regarding this whole Taylor Swift finally renouncing her long-held political neutrality and like getting into the US midterm elections. So she's urged 112 million Instagram followers to vote for Democrats in her home state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
A lot of people have supported this. A lot of people have questioned if she's like really being genuine with it because she's stayed quiet on so many topics for so long.
Because of the snake emoji.
So yeah, like she's also always been kind of really considered like a kind of poster girl for the alt-rights, being the blonde kind of southern girl she is, country singer.
She's very Aryan.
Very Aryan. So a lot of people are upset about that. Yeah, what are your guys' take on Taylor? Like, I mean, I like her.
I'm not a big Taylor fan. I'm going to be real right now. Like, her music, some songs, total bangers, love it, great, whatever. Uh-huh. But then like, when she's stepped forward into the political scene, I was just like, okay, I like you now.
Oh, really?
All right. Really? All right, okay. I like what you're standing for because I've never liked you before.
Really? I think this is going to backfire, though.
Yeah.
As in, so there's this big issue with US politics with these kind of like swing voters, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that they've always identified that these swing voters hate is celebrities telling them who to vote for. So they were all the ones that were coming out for Hillary in the 2016 election. And they think that it might have been a thing of this celebrities actually hurt their campaign. So I don't know.
Really?
So I know that there have been an increase in youth enrollments.
Yes, it's 65,000.
So that's pretty significant. And that's going to swing to the Democrats. If you vote anyway on the basis of a celebrity endorsing a candidate, I'm gonna judge you, okay? Look what the candidate's policies are first, and then vote for them.
But what about if that celebrity was Tilda Swinton?
I'm a fan.
I mean,
she might have horrible alt-right views. You don't know.
She absolutely doesn't, and you know.
Does anyone know for sure what Tilda Swinton's political views are?
I just hope and pray.
She's terrifying.
I like terrifying people. Look at my exes. We see it all the time. Yeah. Is these people come in and they see that we're minorities and they see these opportunities, and it just reeks of that. There are people out there saying this is probably a bit too late for you, Taylor.
Yeah,
to a lot throw of people your hat in the that. Ring.
Yeah,
yeah. She's been so quiet for so long.
Who do you think is like a good example
Tilda
of a
Swinton?
I was going to say of a celebrity that supports like gay rights and LGBT rights and stuff like that. Who is doing it right then?
Gaga.
Yeah,
is Gaga doing
Gaga's
right?
Doing great. I think she's doing great.
But
job.
She could equally, I reckon, to have used the image of being this like political supporter to her own financial advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're using their powers for good, I'm supporting it. Like, can I read you a bit of what she's actually said from her post? She says, "I believe in the fight for LGBTQ rights, that any form of discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender is wrong. I cannot vote for someone who will not be willing to fight for dignity for all Americans, no matter their skin color, gender, or who they love." love.
But do you know how many opportunities she's had to say something like this?
Better late than never kind of thing?
We've talked about it before that I have
two
high standards
you do.
For everybody in existence.
Yep.
But it is way too late.
Yeah.
And especially for that younger generation that adore and follow this artist.
Yeah.
They adore her and they really do appreciate everything she said.
Yeah.
And they are the next generation of people coming through.
Yeah. It sort of comes back to the whole like plebiscite in Australia where it was people just like, oh, I'm not voting either way. And it's just like, yeah, you're still on like the wrong side of things until the last minute.
Oh, you know,
when they're just like, oh yeah, I'm going to vote yes now.
Are you putting too much expectations though on an entertainer? I mean, that's her role, is to entertain. She's not a political...
Like, from a business standpoint, I think it's smart, like, that she hasn't said anything or anything.
Well, that's the thing.
Her biggest, like, target audience or whatever is, like, the southern kind of country people or whatever. And so, like, would she want to fuck that up?
And 13-year-old girls.
Which is why I think you can also hit Lady Gaga. I'm going to insult Lady Gaga. That's not good for my campaign.
Good luck.
No. Well, delivering crap music in gay bars since, like, 20 years.
Oh, okay. You made an enemy tonight. I know how I'm voting.
I often see celebrities be political, but be political in this really...
safe way?
Very safe. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. A very safe way that I wonder is like, is this part of your brand? Like, has a PR person told you to say this in a particular way?
Absolutely. Look, the youth are the people that require options and opinions and need to be informed that there's more than one way of thinking. And Taylor Swift has been prodded and poked about her authenticity so many times in regards to a number of things.
Yeah.
For this to come out now is just way, way, way too late and way too manufactured.
At the same time, though, she increased the youth vote by a substantial amount. Yeah. So she clearly has influence. And so maybe if you do have influence, maybe that comes with a responsibility. I don't know.
Think it does, because it's this weird thing, even with this show, as our listener base increases and more people are tuning in to listen to us talk, you start to feel some responsibility, at least, to be aware of issues that are happening.
Celebrities being involved in politics can get messy, but I think you don't need to be super in it. Just have a political view. Just be like, yep,
but don't act like support Democrats. Nothing, like but you're just Switzerland.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I'm not about that. Like, let's just like, cool, I support Democrats, I support LGBT rights, that's it.
JB and I actually have a really good lip sync video to Bad Blood.
I do.
And that is probably the only thing I'll
see. The only Taylor Swift song that I could remember when I knew I was coming to this podcast was, is it Shake It Off?
Shake It Off.
That was the only one. Yeah. Bad Blood, that ages ago or is that like fairly recent?
It's a while.
Yeah. Okay.
We have the best lip sync video because we somehow convinced our friend to hide behind us.
Oh my god!
For like 3/4 of the song until the hey in the chorus, she pops up, and it is one of my favorite videos of all time. So thank you, Taylor, for that.
That's
and
good.
You can take your sentiment.
Would JB be willing to let you post it in the Facebook group?
Absolutely. He loves it. He loves it.
I want to see this. Are you kidding?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We have another fan-suggested topic for us to talk about. And when I saw it, I completely misinterpreted it, as per usual, because someone wants us to talk about the modern sort of romantic occurrence called ghosting.
Oh.
And I actually prepared a very in-depth story.
Not a haiku.
About one of the best relationships I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Which was with someone on Grindr who was using River Phoenix's profile picture.
Who's River Phoenix?
Kyle.
You don't know who River Phoenix is.
Who
the
that?
The hottest man to have ever died.
Oh, private
Idaho. Yeah. So I actually thought I was having about a 3-week relationship
with the dead person.
With the spirit of River Phoenix.
Did you make, did you make pottery with them?
Yeah, very. It's very Halloween themed. Yeah, I like it.
Well, basically, you just kept asking me if I'd been to the gym and if I wanted a blowjob.
Okay.
So after about 3 weeks, I realized that was a Grindr bot just using.
Wait, what was their name? I want to Google.
River Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix's brother.
Oh, I know Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, this was the more famous Phoenix for a very long time until he like took over.
I have no idea who this is, but okay.
But that led me to realize that ghosting is another thing, which has also happened a lot to me in my life. And is becoming more and more common as dating and our relationships move into the online sphere, which is our kind of world now. And it's also become acceptable in a way, just not to show up to something or to leave someone on red, I think is what you call it. You just...
Wait, is that a thing? That's on Grindr now, right? You can leave people in red?
I think you can
like,
see...
Like, isn't it like, people... won't it say red? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Do you have to pay for that?
You have to pay to let people know that,
is that like left Grindr extra?
Wow.
Like, I've seen like, it. I'm not interested.
It's a no from me.
So, I want to know what we're talking about here, because there's different
not
levels.
Not ghosts.
Not ghosts.
Which look?
Not Whoopi Goldberg in Ghosts. No.
Because there's different levels of ghosting, right? So like there's someone sends you, you have a brief conversation on some app and then you don't respond, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
I don't think that's ghost.
That's not
ghost. That's just rejection.
Yeah. Is ghosting literally you've organized a date and then you don't show up?
I have like two different types of ghosting. One is they just don't show up to something.
Yeah.
Or you have like very clear plans to meet with someone and they either delay until affinity when you become
I'm like a
ghost.
A catfish probably.
Die. Or you meet with someone, you sleep with them, or you just have a generally date. Yeah. I don't know how other people do it. and then you never hear from them again.
I feel like ghosting, like you would have to have like some kind of established connection already and then disappear for it to be ghosting. If they just don't turn up for your first date, you're just being stood up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I actually just remembered a story that doesn't include an actual ghost.
Doesn't.
I saw a guy for about 3 weeks who was amazing and would drive me to work in the morning.
Oh, nice.
Is that your longest relationship?
And he had and he had a very nice car and he would let me listen to Charlie XCX when he dropped me off. And then we had a dinner where he told me that he was moving to Sydney for work. And so it was just like the end of the relationship. And then I went through that classic gay thing of like getting off Grindr for a bit and then you re-download and you can't remember your password. So you just start
new
account.
Grindr, you lost all messages. Like,
like, I'm fresh meat again, guys.
Yeah, lost all messages. And you have access to all the people that have blocked you because it's a different account.
Yeah.
Wow. And I realized that this guy never moved to Sydney.
God.
I was actually still just in Melbourne. Our relationship.
Really stupid of him to say, though. I mean, obviously you're gonna. Oh, but you were blocked.
Yeah.
Wait, how young are we talking? At what age was all of this happening?
Last week.
So not young at all.
Because I was gonna say, I think I was like a ghoster or sort of thing. Yeah,
ghostie.
I think
a ghostie.
Ghostie, whatever, as in the person doing it.
What if you're a ghostie and you have a goatee?
Ooh.
Oh my god,
a ghosty goatee.
Sometimes I hate you so much.
I just hate you all the time.
Because I think I did ghost people a lot when I was in my early 20s because I didn't know how to do the thing where you'd hooked up with a guy and then the next day you were like, really didn't enjoy that.
Ooh.
And then they text you. And then I never really knew how to respond. Now, as a mature adult, I will just be like, sorry, was not really interested, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I feel like that was the way that I thought I was sparing their feelings.
Totally, yeah.
But it doesn't, though. It makes
it so much easier now. You get to a point and you just got to realize that the conversation sucks, but it saves you so much fucking hassle. If you just tell someone up front and you're like, look, this isn't going to work, like, just like cut it then, you really save both of you so much drama instead of just stringing someone along. Because like, I've done that in the past. I've had to ghost people because they just weren't getting the picture and you're like too nice and you're just like, no, like you just got to be brutal sometimes.
I've known friends to continue the conversation because they're like, oh, but we can just make it a friend thing. And it was like,
is that like a friend sex thing? Or
no, well, not even a friend sex thing. Like as in just you send mixed signals when you keep things going. Well, you should either cut it off and let them know and not just stop messaging.
I felt really mature before my last relationship because it was always through Grindr because that's the only way I meet people.
There are other apps.
Yeah, I don't do well with change. And
stick to what you know.
Yeah. I'm a slow learner. But I felt really mature because I'd met someone and had like a great first and second date. And I decided to go back into the app and scroll through maybe like the 6 most recent people who were like mid-conversation and send a message saying, hi, it's been really great chatting to you. I think I've found someone. Just wanted to let you know I'm going to be off the app in a couple weeks.
That's really nice.
And
in a couple weeks.
Well, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm it wasn't realistic, official. Bitch.
Before you lock anything in, you're going to play like the
probably,
field.
Like, give or take. I got some people to get through.
Open. But I thought I was being really mature and respectful in that space, whereas I think the common acceptable behavior is just you delate the app and those people just disappear from your life.
I've had experiences where I have either hooked up with someone or someone's given me their number and then they've tried to organize a date and I've said, oh, sorry, I'm not that interested.
Ooh.
But then they've been vicious back. No,
people, oh my God. Yeah.
Yes. Guys cannot take rejection.
No. So I can kind of almost sympathize with people who ghost because it's a lot less hassle than if someone has a bad reaction.
Yeah. So there was this one guy.
Yes.
So prior to me being with my partner Josh now, we chatted a couple of times. He seemed really lovely, like a photography dude. And I was just like, yeah, sweet. And he was like, can I take photos of you? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, who cares? And then all of a sudden did like a 180 on me and like started going at me. I was just like, cool, I'm not into this.
So. What do you mean going at you?
Like hurling abuse at me all of a sudden.
He put you on blast.
Like, and I was just like, whoa, like what people the fuck? And then I was just like, block.
And gave them my
And then he created a new account.
Oh,
and started chatting to me again with a blank profile. And I was just like, okay. And then started again with the abuse. No. And I was just like, is this blah, blah, blah? And then just like, yes. And I was like, oh my God. This went on for like 2 months.
Security.
Like it was a long time. And I was just like, I don't know what to do. And so I just completely stopped using it altogether and then created a new account when I decided to get back into it. And he found me again.
They
and I was just like, oh my God, what is going on?
There's a certain point where this actually gets into kind of stalkery territory, right?
Yeah,
totally.
Like, it sucks if you get rejected. No one enjoys that. No. But at the same time, that's life, really.
My alternative would be, like, instead of ghosting, it would be, like, the peter out. So, like, you'd change plans last minute.
You'd really want
to, like, show them you're unreliable, change plans to, like, a Wednesday instead of a Saturday, and then, like, things would just eventually peter
that's
out.
That's shitty, Kyle.
Yeah, it's shitty. Hey, I've grown as a person. Hey, I'm with someone now. Like, I've changed.
Sometimes you have a better option. I'm just saying.
But no, I've done what you've done with like the whole like message someone and tell them. Because like when I got with Josh, before we'd made it official, there was this one other person that we'd been chatting and like we'd slept together, but he had left the country. Mm-hmm. And we were still chatting and like, we're like, oh yeah, let's catch up when you get back. Da, 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 da. And it was the week of him coming back. Josh and I made things official.
Oh.
And it's just like, I'm so excited to see you. And you're I like, sort of ooh. Just like, I didn't read the message for like a couple of days because I was just like, oh, I don't know how to break this to you.
I'm at your front door.
Yeah, well, like, I was like, I don't know how to break this to you. And then, like, I spoke to a friend about it and they're just like, just tell him.
Yeah.
You're better off just telling him because then he doesn't come home and he's like heartbroken. And I was like, okay. And I messaged him and I was like, look, this is the situation. I'm really sorry. And he was just like, thank you so much for telling me because I've had too many times where this has happened and the person's just completely ignored me.
Absolutely.
I would rather you tell me and, like, we can, like, still be friends and stuff. And I was just like, okay, I did the right thing.
Yeah.
I did the adult thing.
I think there's also...
It's nice when it works.
It goes both ways, though, in terms of expectations. If you, like, hook up with someone once, that doesn't mean you're going to spend the rest of your life with that person.
Every gay person.
Like,
we're married now.
No, that's lesbians.
But, like, I don't know. There's not to blame the victim in this situation, but, like... I do think that people need to be honest about, you know, just because you hook up with someone once doesn't mean there's an expectation that's going to go on forever.
I feel like gay men are generally more realistic about sex as a separation from relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we even spoke about it last week about the uniqueness of LGBT and queer culture and that we can have sex with people and intimate relationships and then find a friendship instead, and that there are so many groups of gay men that have had sex with each other and it's just a thing that happened. And there's, I try to keep that in my head whenever I'm on those apps and sending messages like, hey, I found someone, so it's moving into a relationship space. I feel like that's a good direction for us to move in as people, because we seem to be the community that is the most kind of conscious of the separation between what physical relationship is. Jared is looking at me like I'm
But younger me would have disagreed with you, but older me agrees with you. I don't know how generalizable that is as a concept, that idea of separating sex and relationships, because obviously we're all very diverse as a community and everything like that. But I think people often make that mistake of confusing what one person perceives as a hookup as the first step into something more.
But I think sending those messages saying, I'm out of this potential relationship position, but I'm still available as friendship. I don't know. I 100% agree with you. In my 20s, if you put it in me, we were... We were it for life.
And
friendship bracelets.
And
no, fuck them.
That's a lesson I had to learn. And then as I became more involved in the gay community, I saw it reflected in other people's relationships. And it's funny that, once again, Tom's not here this week, because this is absolutely something Tom would chip in on and say that is his friendship circle, is people that have had sex with each other and have become friends. And it's also something that I feel, I'm using the word I feel, is unique to the LGBT experience. It doesn't happen as often, and it's something we should be proud of.
Yeah, I think straight relationships, like heterosexual relationships, have a lot more rules in terms of etiquettes with dating and things like that I don't think should be imposed.
Absolutely. So let's set some rules around ghosting.
That's what makes me think that maybe it's like mutual obligation, that you need to have like an expectation of what it's going to be. And maybe you also just need to like message back and say, not interested.
So as none of anybody knows, really, because I don't know why I would tell anyone this, but I'm going to tell all of you now. My partner and I, Josh, we are both versatile. And the other night in bed, we were just chatting about different sex positions we like and like what position we like it in. And so it came down to, so when he bottoms, like it's missionary. And I love that. I'm all about that. I'm just like, yes, face to face. Like, let's make out. Let's make it happen. He really likes doggy, where I was just like, I don't like either of those. That's not my thing at all. So, like, if I top, I like being missionary, like, whatever, like, I'm accommodating to the bottom, like, let's do it. But when I bottom, I'm on top. That's it. I'm the one in control.
So, is that, like, bottom? Like, because you're in control?
I just like to control the pace. Like, I like to control the whole situation. And I just find it, like, a lot more comfortable as well. What are you into? What have you tried? So, anything new?
In terms of sex positions, I kind of knew that this topic may come up today, and so I did have a gentleman friend that was meant to come around last night. Who
did he ghost you? You said meant.
He did. He cancelled on me at the last minute. So my original plan was to try out all the most freaky, weird sexual positions that I could think of,
like whipping out the Kama Sutra
with this person, and then give a review. So if you're listening, and you probably are listening because he likes the show, this is what you missed out on that we were going to do. Very freaky sexual positions that I was going to review that. So I just wanted to say.
What are the positions you were going to try?
So there was an interesting list that I don't know what website it was on, but there was some... Okay, so I can't remember the names of it. They were all about kind of like... So this thing with like gay sex positions, they want to name them after like manly animals.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So it's like the bull position.
Yeah.
And like all these different kind of levels of very like masculine sounding things. Mm. To be honest, the vast majority of them, I was like, I'm turning 30 this year.
Yeah.
I have lower back problems. I'm not going to do.
Ah, me. Hashtag bottoms for bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Hashtag flexible bottoms for bottle, really. Lots of things were like lying with like your legs in the air and then he like pushes his dick downwards into you.
Oh, okay.
I've never understood that.
I think I've seen it in porn, but I don't know if it would feel good.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of porn is like not as good as they're making it out to be.
No. Well, it's all for the visual is what you're kind of after. Controversial statement, and I was thinking about this. I don't think the position matters all that much. Because I was thinking of sex positions with like positions that I've really enjoyed, and like with some people I've enjoyed those positions and some people I haven't enjoyed those positions.
Do you think
it's the shape of their dick?
Maybe. I was thinking it was more to do with like the rhythm or the passion. Mm. Like I think I've ranked up enough numbers that it's like statistically significant that I can actually say that that like that maybe position doesn't matter, maybe a whole bunch of other things actually matter more.
For me, being shaped like a Picasso painting, I don't have a preference for sexual positions because as long as you can find the hole.
Any hole's a goal.
I love it. I'm pretty happy. I do find some of the ones that I see in porn, specifically that bull one where someone's upside down.
Oh, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I get it because the legs look like bull horns.
There's another one called the crab where like it's like cross leg and then you put that cross leg. What? I don't know.
Crouching tiger.
It's all too elaborate. Again, I'm turning 30, guys. I can't be bothered.
JB and I invented one.
Wait.
Together?
Huh? JB, your straight friend. Continue.
We have Snow Day, which I think we've already talked about on this show.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
But we have another game, which we call Cocoon. We're playing Cocoon. And it's actually very sexy. You put on every single piece of clothing that you own over the top of one another until you form a cocoon of clothing.
Okay.
And then your partner removes them one by one by one.
Wait,
by
so you're
one
like,
by one.
You have like a million like jumpers on.
Yes.
So I'm just like picturing like Joey from Friends when he's like wearing all the clothes.
Yes. Is this like a fetish thing? Or is it is it about the removal of clothing?
Also, it's the anticipation
of like the removal.
Running around like
you can get at least like five sweaters.
Anxiety.
Come on.
I feel like claustrophobic.
Yeah. Because then they take off a sweater and you're like,
they have to get the emergency team to like cut it off.
And then they take off another one and then eventually you're naked.
This is a complete tangent, but has anyone seen those like vacuum latex things that people get for fetish things?
Is that like a gimp suit?
So they put them in and then they get a vacuum. It's like vacuum sealed all over their body. As in, I'm similar to you in that would be incredibly claustrophobic.
But some people love that layering.
I think this is a kink for you and you should explore it.
If that's the final stage of the cocoon, it's like instead of a butterfly coming out, a gimp.
Gimp is your final form. Yeah. But do you think this whole sex position thing is like a straight boy thing? Because they think that women are like robots and you need to like find the right combination to get them off. I kind of figure it out.
Yeah. I think, not to make it serious, I hate when I do this every episode.
So do we.
So do our listeners.
Yeah.
But really, this whole like obsession with sex positions and whatever, I think stems from porn culture, which you hear predominantly from heterosexual men. Sex for me is not three different positions with some costume changes and maybe like a change in scenery.
I wouldn't call it porn culture as someone who advises porn producers, but it's this idea of this like mechanical idea of sex.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's this idea of, you know,
overproduced.
If I hit all the right buttons and I tick off all the right boxes, then she'll orgasm.
Yeah. I think it's right.
It's a very straight guy and a gay guy. Like, and I've seen gay guys who have this mindset of step one, step two, step three idea of, yeah. of having sex.
Or like they've printed out the dialogue from a Sean Cody scene.
Oh, yes.
My God. Oh, just yeah. reading it off. I know we've spoken about it before, but like OnlyFans and stuff, do you think that's why that's becoming so popular? Because it's like more organic, maybe, than like stage porn and everything?
Yeah, I think reality porn is more appealing than like that it's whole like stage rising. Stuff. Like instead I'd rather watch like, amateur
oh,
porn.
Oh, thank God the plumber arrived.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? There's been increased traffic as well to these like blooper reels for pornography.
Like funny really porn?
Yeah. It's oh like a God. Thing as well that's like suddenly yeah. increasing in traffic. What? There's people yeah. like breaking the facade.
I'm really shy, like yeah. in talking about publicly.
Top five sexual
positions. Eyes open, eyes closed.
Eyes open, eyes closed.
So spill the beans, Kyle.
No, I'm too awkward to talk about. I'll comment on
I just imagine yeah. like it's really lovely like positions with you and Duncan. Like it's under
like
the
a Vanity
sheets,
Fair like photo shoot.
And it's just like really in love.
Rose like, rose petals yeah. coming from the
every
ceiling.
Time. It's not on unless it's rose petals. Shower sex is great. I'll say that.
Really? Standing I up. Hate shower sex.
It's like the biggest because everything's like just it's like hot and steamy.
I like
and,
shower
clean,
foreplay.
And, like,
yes.
Shower
yes.
foreplay is good. I want to lie down. Like oh, yeah. I'm not standing up and doing this.
Yeah, a bed.
Like, oh yeah. Actually, I will chip that in any position yeah. where I get to lay down.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. hey, I'm just gonna like
we're all lazy here.
Like, Candy Crush while like no, you no, just no. you do your thing.
Again, my lower back. Really, I just.
All right, what an episode. We got politics, we got sex, we got yeah. Taylor Swift.
What more do the gays want?
Yeah. I just wanted to thank everyone for tuning in again. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially thank you to Jared for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Great to be Jared. Here.
You've actually contributed such a unique perspective as an adult yeah. male.
With I'm the mature one in the room?
Yeah, somehow. Okay, yeah. So thank you very
I like
much.
This red wine.
And thank you to 17. Thank you to everyone that follows us and has been sending us messages and, yeah, and sharing on
oh,
your Instagram.
Getting the nicest messages. Love yeah. All
so thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Us, you know the drill. We've been receiving some lovely reviews. Yeah. I'm going to read one for you because yeah. it was just
oh. my heart.
Lee SW6 said, "This is one of those podcasts that hits all the right notes. Great chemistry between the guys, both informative and hilarious, and produced well. No lulls or poor quality audio." Yeah. Thanks, Dan. I look forward to the new episodes each week. Love hearing the different perspectives on important issues and the trashy local Melbourne talk too.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks,
people yes, need to I know whenever that. We get a review, we actually send them to each other and then cry for about
yeah,
10
we're
minutes.
Just like all the emotions.
Every single one.
That's cute. Send us all the stuff.
That's it. And guys, as always, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials. Join our Facebook group at Gays Revolting. We post yep. lots of cool stuff. Hopefully, we'll see JB and Luke's beautiful video
oh, yeah.
of
we're
Bad
getting a
Blood.
Pretty cool like community. Like it's really yeah. going. Yeah, like no. people like chatting.
It's really good. Yeah. And yeah, and don't forget on Instagram as well at Gays Revolting Pod.
Perfect.
Yes.
And we'll see Tom back next
yes.
week.
We'll see Tom back next Thanks week. Happy again birthday, to Tom, by
Happy
the way.
Birthday, Tom.
We love you.
Happy birthday from Bali.
Yes.
Bali. It up.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Bye.
That was fun. Oh, good.
Yeah, that was That's awesome. Right. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.